Welcome to episode 12 of Shards of Light, Voices of the Blind and Vision Impaired. I'm Lamont Crawley, founder and host. Today with me, my guest is Selena Spurlock.
Hello.
Selena is a mother, a daughter, a friend, and perhaps most important, she's a survivor. She is here today because she's also an author. Her book, Blinded by Love, Saved by Grace, a dynamic memoir. And of course, we will find out more about her book as we go along. Selena thought she had found true love and perhaps a real soulmate. But on one fateful evening, her life took a deep dive into the dark abyss of despair. Ultimately, as evidenced by her presence here today, like the phoenix, she rose from the fire in ashes to be reborn. Hi, Selena. I'm grateful to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Let's start with, is there any additional biographical information that would give our listeners a better sense of who you are?
I am Selena Spurlock. I am the author of Blinded by Loves. As stated before, I'm also the co-author of Unveil Courage, Voices of the Unashamed. And I've been featured in several magazines, and I do a lot of domestic violence advocating and speaking in hopes of saving one life from being a casualty of domestic violence.
When I looked at the back cover of your book, there's a statement that speaks to you approaching each day with grace, hope, peace, and love. What does that look like, if you will?
Approaching each day with hope, peace, and love looks like, for me, living my life to the fullest, not letting any obstacles interfere with me living and loving life.
Okay. Are there any particular steps or movements or anything that you do in connection with that, or just being fully present?
Just fully present. I get up and go with the flow.
Okay.
I don't let the blindness define me.
Okay.
I just get up and do. I do things that people wouldn't think a blind person would be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for example, give me one.
I have a little farm. I get up every morning and I let my animals out. I feed and give them water. Still can braid hair.
Okay.
Walking down my subdivision alone.
All right.
Cooking, cleaning.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. A little farm with little animals that you feed.
Yeah, I love them. I love them.
No, it sounds like fun.
It is.
Your book is centered around a core event.
Yes.
Let's give a summary of steps, actions, behaviors that led up to you becoming blind.
I spent 15 years in a relationship with a man that I thought loved me. My incident, the last incident that took my vision, wasn't the first incident that we had. It was a cycle of abuse. And there are many types of abuse. You have physical, you have verbal, you know, if I have financial, but I didn't have the financial, I just had the physical and the verbal abuse. And it just took me to a low place. And I didn't value myself anymore. You know, I was just trapped in that cycle for 15 years. And ultimately, it almost took my life.
Ultimately, it almost took your life. What happened?
He came home one night, from a night of drinking, and I wouldn't let him in. Of course, I watched him on my Ring camera, you know, circle the whole house, trying to get in, see if the windows are unlocked and trying to get through the doors. And so finally I called, his sister and told her, to come pick him up because I'm not letting him in tonight. And this wasn't unusual for her. Normally she's my go-to person to call when we're having issues. And, she came. When she got there, he jumped out of the truck he was sitting in. You know, after all the searching, trying to get in the house, he went and sat back in his truck. So when she got there, he jumped out of his vehicle and he had the gun in his hand. He was yelling and screaming. And I went to the bathroom window and I let the window up and I told him, you know, to go with her because I'm not letting them in. I'm not going through another night of what we've already been through.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Okay.
So ultimately, she could not get him to leave. She couldn't get him to put the gun down. You know, he pointed it at the window, and I'm like, I know you didn't point the gun at me. And, you know, he was using all kind of obscene words to me. So finally, she gave up on trying to retrieve the gun from him. And when I looked back at the window, he had it pointed. Of course, she tried to get it again. It wasn't getting any better. So everything was escalating.
Sure.
So what I did is I didn't want him to go to jail because I cared for the man. So what I did was call the non-emergency 911 number. And the dispatcher's on the phone, and I'm saying, you know, send somebody out. He's acting up. I'm sure they could hear him yelling.
Right.
I had the phone in my hand, my left hand, on the windowsill in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So he could hear me on the phone with the dispatcher in hopes of him trying to leave.
I got you.
I would hope that would scare him off, but it did not. Yeah, and then next thing you know, it was just a blast. It knocked me back from the window to the wall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds horrifying to go through that. But let me go back to say, your sister or his sister?
His sister.
Okay, right. I mean, it must took a lot of courage for her even to be out there.
Yeah.
With maybe him being, you know, kind of crazy, off his head, waving a gun or having a gun, you know. So, I mean, that's just a tough position to be in.
It is.
But now you were knocked back from the window and... In the book, you talk about you had the, I don't know, conscience of mind to try to get downstairs, to try to take yourself, I guess, to the hospital or something. You were trying to get out of the house.
Yeah, I was. It shocked me.
Right.
You know, I'm in complete darkness. My face is on fire. It's burning. So, you know, I did pray. I prayed to, you know, God to please save me because I felt blood running down my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you shot me. But I do like, it's like a real loud ringing in my ear. So I really couldn't hear anything. But I noticed that I had a towel wrapped hanging behind my door in the bathroom.
Right.
So I took the towel and I wrapped my face with it.
And you were able to do all this. You had the conscious of mind to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Plus your daughter was there.
That was his daughter and my daughter together.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She comes running in, but thank God, you know, I wrapped my face so she couldn't see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I stumbled down my stairs.
Uh-huh.
And when I get close to the bottom, I fall on the door downstairs.
Right. Wow.
So that saved me from actually falling.
Just horrific, horrific.
Yeah.
What in this time since 15 years of sort of a tumultuous relationship, what have you settled on in terms of why maybe you didn't leave earlier? Or get out of the relationship earlier?
I truly believe I didn't leave because my self-esteem, he made me feel like really small.
Okay.
I didn't have the confidence and the self-esteem to leave. And I just think I thought I couldn't do any better.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. He made me feel that bad.
Right.
He always told, you know, sad little things. No man's going to want you. He said those things to me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, so I was just stuck and stuck in that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't bad all the time. So it was that cycle. So you have the moment where it's good.
Right.
Then you have the moments where it's really bad. And then it's the makeup. And then it's really good again. And it's bad again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the makeup again is just a repeated cycle.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which can we say is typical or kind of typical
it's
to
very
a
typical.
Lot of abusive relationships?
It's very typical, yes.
Okay. And which is also why you've been out there sharing your story.
Sharing my story with in hopes of it helping one person. Man or woman, because men go through it as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this to you. I don't think I ever screamed at a book before in my life.
Really?
Until here I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
You locked him out or something. He couldn't come in the house.
Oh, yeah.
You finally got him out.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, you called people to come and intervene.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started talking about the window. And I'm like, don't go to the window.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go to the window. Woman, do not go.
Oh, man.
And you keep going to the window. And then you not only look through the curtains.
Oh, my goodness.
Then you got the nerve to raise it.
I raised the window.
Come on, lady. Come on.
Yes.
And then boom.
But never in a million years. You know, I always knew he was capable of hurting me because he's done it before.
Right.
But to this extreme, no.
Right. Right. So, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the hospital. You got, you know, obviously you knew you'd been shot. What was... that recovery process, how was that for you? And what were some of the emotions and such that you went through?
Ooh, that recovery was rough. Having sight for 40 plus years, I think it was 41 mm-hmm. years I had my vision.
Okay.
And to have it just taken away like that in an instant. And, you know, me waking up in the hospital, not knowing where I am, just mm-hmm. hearing, you know, the machines around me, you know, I was scared.
Right.
So I tried to pull my IVs out. I tried to get up. The nurse comes running in and tells me, "Miss Burlock, you're safe. You're in the hospital." And I'm like, "I can't see. I feel my face and it's all padded up." It was really rough. I had to learn how to, you know, use my phone. I couldn't even make a phone call. And at the time I was COVID positive. So that made it even worse. I couldn't even have visitors. And I just felt even more isolated.
Sure.
You know, the phone was ringing. My cell phone was ringing, but I couldn't. I had no idea how to answer it with no vision.
Devastated, isolated, dejection. I mean, just all kinds of feelings.
If you can think of it, yes.
Yeah. So what was foremost on your mind at that point? Yourself, your daughters, what?
My vision, my daughters. Being home alone, I was concerned about them. But just not having vision, you know, wanting to hear the news from the doctors that I'll be able to see again. And of course, they couldn't tell me anything at that moment because I had so much blood in my eyes.
Okay. Any anger towards your boyfriend there?
At first, yes.
Okay.
First, I'm like, you know, how could he do this to me?
Sure.
You know, he almost took my life, and I still have some pellets lodged in my face. One is like a couple centimeters from my main artery to my brain.
Right.
And, you know, if it would hit it, the doctors told me I would not be here. So I had a lot of anger towards him.
Sure.
But, I learned, prayed and fast and learned how to forgive. So ultimately, I forgave him for doing it.
Okay.
You know, even though I don't want to have anything to do with him, you know, stay away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he did go to, he's in jail.
He's in jail.
Right. And so hopefully once he get out, he would have learned some things.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope so.
Okay.
So yeah, he's going to be released next year, 2027.
All right.
Yeah.
How long then in that process of healing did the book idea come to you?
Maybe like a year after.
Okay.
A year or so afterwards.
Okay.
I'm like, you know what? I don't want anyone else to go through what I've been through in hopes of saving someone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will read my story and know, you know, that it's definitely not safe. And people can switch at the drop of a dime.
Meaning what?
Meaning they like a switch is flipped.
Okay.
They're capable of anything. If they're capable of hurting you one kind of way, they're definitely capable of hurting you another.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you wrote the book to aid others, thinking it'd be of help and assistance to them, maybe not going as far, staying in too long in a relationship that seems detrimental to your health and well-being, let me say.
And, you know, there are women that I know now, I speak to today, that are going through the same thing, and they still stay, but you know, I was there. I was once there. And I tell them, you know, you're going to know when you had enough. Just don't let it be too late.
Too late.
You know?
One of the things that in reading your story, it just brought back something from the past, which is ongoing in our society. And I go back to being a child when your mother said, "Don't touch the iron, it's hot."
Mm-hmm.
But until you touched it, you really didn't know it was hot.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the warning signs have been on the pack of cigarettes in the early days.
Absolutely.
People keep going back and back and back. And then, you know, comes all the illnesses that may spring from that.
Mm-hmm.
So even with abuse, intimate partner violence, the information has been out there for decades. But we don't seem to know how to utilize this information.
Absolutely. I agree. And one thing, it's called a trauma bond.
Okay. Now, explain that more.
And basically, it's basically where you're trapped in that trauma.
Okay.
You're so used to it, you get numb to it, and you think it's okay. It's how you're supposed to be. It's not normal.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And one thing I used to think that sometimes maybe people don't know another way to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you see that.
A lot of times they are the abuse is so bad that it makes you think there's no other way. Okay. There's no way out. Right. Sometimes people are scared to leave.
Sure.
People
sure.
stay for many, many different
sure.
reasons.
Sure.
Yeah. Financial, like maybe the man or the woman is the main provider.
Okay.
You have nowhere else to turn.
Right.
They isolate you from your family, so right. your family's not there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's many, many different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Now, and for your daughters and specifically, what do you hope they gain from your experience?
Confidence. And I truly, truly believe they have that.
Okay.
Their worth, self-worth.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. And what have you learned that will come into play in future? I mean, I don't know whether you're in a relationship now or not, mm-hmm. but what yeah. have you learned that will come into play for you in the future, and no matter what the relationship is?
The same thing, just self-worth, and I'm not settling. Okay. I know how I want to be treated, mm-hmm. and it's definitely not how I was in the past. You know, it took this for me to realize it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, to know my worth.
Mm-hmm. And now, in your spirituality existed before this relationship, did it? Or did it just get stronger?
It did.
In the midst of your healing?
Yeah, it did, but it got stronger in the midst of the healing.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I started to, you know, fast and pray. Okay. This is a daily, for hours on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I have an aunt who's a minister, she helped me a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I was, one of my questions is, talk about your support group, because it seemed like you had a lot of people
mm-hmm.
around you, surrounding you. True or false? And perhaps who are some of the titles in the way of some of those people?
True. My aunt, Minister Anderson.
Okay.
My pastor mm-hmm. Reed.
Mm-hmm.
My daughters,
right.
Shalia and Micaiah.
Right.
My parents.
Okay.
And okay. my sister. Yes, mm-hmm. my niece.
And you speak to the fact that your pastor maybe was instrumental in helping you find a sense of self-worth mm-hmm. or increasing that sense of self-worth.
Yes.
Through any particular things that he was doing?
Just preaching mm-hmm. the word.
Okay.
You know, and my pastor, he also lost his niece to domestic violence.
Oh, wow.
Same
okay.
way.
Yeah.
Same way.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of like you never get used to this. There's mm-hmm. been plenty of movies,
mm-hmm.
plenty of you know, documentaries or what have you,
yes.
Books and stories, but it's just on and on. Okay.
I will always live by the saying, when someone shows you who they are the first time, mm-hmm. believe it,
right.
because that's who they are.
Right. But it's having that courage or that know-with-all to be able to move on
Absolutely.
And away from such a thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, in this process of you being blind, oh, and I'm sure you probably have had to think about this. Your grandfather was blind.
Yeah, he's still living.
He's still living.
He's
okay.
still living, yes.
So now, is there some, I don't know, warm, wonderful connection maybe that you have with him? I mean, even more so?
I do.
Okay. And how so?
You know, as a child, I would watch him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does he do that as a blind man? How does he?
Mm-hmm.
And I would look at him sometimes, and he'll look at me. I'm like, what are you looking at me for? I'm like, right. how do you know I was looking at him?
Right.
And he's 100% blind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the encouragement. He has a farm. He still
right.
has cattle.
Uh-huh.
His pigs.
Okay.
yeah.
yeah.
So, you know, I lost one of my animals, my chickens yesterday.
Okay.
Oh, and I was really emotional behind it.
Okay.
He was like, you know, he's very encouraging. Him and my mom came by, and he was
uh-huh.
like, when you have animals, you're going to lose them. It's life. It's a
right.
cycle. You know, and it calmed me right on down,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay.
Just all his wisdom and advice has been
okay.
good. And, you know, when I first lost my vision, he was like, it's many of us.
Right.
Trust me.
Right.
It's many of us. We're not the only two that are, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I also learned that at the center, you know.
Okay. Yes, and talk about your experience with the Department of the Blind and Vision Impaired.
Oh, it was amazing. I went one year, got dropped off. You know, they don't hold your hand. I'm not going to sugarcoat. They don't hold your hand. I was left to navigate alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so frustrated. I was frustrated with life, and I was frustrated with being blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I don't know where I am. I'm lost. I don't know what room is what room. I'm confused. I just was so irritated.
Right.
And I just sat there. I sat there in the lounge, and I cried.
Okay.
And I called my mom. I said, come get me.
Mm.
Come pick me up. She came to pick me up. I wasn't ready.
Right. Right.
You know, I gave it a year or so and I went back.
Okay.
I walked through those doors and I stood there and I was lost, same.
Uh-huh.
But I took a deep breath and I moved forward.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's
just like a dorm situation or something.
They have dorms, but I was a commuter.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that it was a different experience when I just pushed forward. I didn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. But you made some wonderful connections while you were there.
I did. All of my teachers, a couple of friends,
mm-hmm.
but I love the staff there.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Triplett is my favorite. Mr. Villafane,
okay,
which is a computer teacher.
I see.
He's the best. Yeah.
All right.
Really, really great connections, and they push you.
Okay.
And when I first walked through those doors, I hear the computer. A lot of people say my phone sounds like it sounds like one of the little characters off Wild Thornberry. They're like, how do you understand that? But that's the same impression I got when I walked through the door at the center. I'm like, what is his laptop saying? How does he understand that? And now I'm there. So
okay.
Yeah.
But it is speaking English.
It's
speaking
English.
Fast.
It's English. Yeah, really fast.
Well, fast to us.
Yes.
Or something. I don't know, fast to other people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no longer fast to you.
No.
Okay.
Even my grandfather, who's blind, he's 91 mm-hmm. years old, so he's not tech savvy.
Right.
He's like, what does your sound like? Your phone sounds like ducks. I'm like, it's...
Okay.
But yeah.
Technology. And so, yeah, and you have learned to use a lot of the technology that's available.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, I learned to read Braille. I was already familiar with the keyboard, so.
Okay, right.
But learning to use it again was a little challenging, mm-hmm. but I still knew the home keys.
Right.
So it was easier for me to learn to use it. JAWS system.
How have you speak about going out, talking to groups.
Mm-hmm.
How does those events come into being? Like, how do you develop those or?
People, they'll reach out to me via email, Facebook, word of mouth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If there's something more you could do that would be of service to others and money wasn't a limit, what is it that you would want to do, come up with, that might be even more of an impact, or you feel might be more of an impact?
That's a good question, because me and my daughter, I've been thinking about this for a couple of years now. I just need to go ahead and act on it. I was thinking about creating a nonprofit for, women and men that are trapped in abuse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Had you thought about any particular activities or things that you would do specifically, just a few of those?
As far as activities, no, but I did think of like a safe house for them.
Okay.
Like having a building where they can escape for like a certain amount of time
until
they get themselves together.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, help with the little things like, toiletries and stuff like that.
Okay, I see.
Just give them somewhere to stay for a little bit. Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Purple Rose. Is that a poem that you can recite off the top of your head?
I cannot. No.
You cannot?
No.
It's such a beautiful poem. Any last words or anything you would like to impart?
Just to know your worth and walk away. And blindness is not the end for those who are vision impaired. And they were capable of doing anything anyone else is, to just put your mind to it.
Okay. How about for those seeing folks, those fully sighted folk, anything for them in particular?
Absolutely. You never know what's behind the door until you open it.
Okay.
So you have to take that leap of faith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. That is Selena Spurlock. Her book is Blinded by Love, Saved by Grace. For those of you interested in submitting your talent for consideration, call Virginia Voice at 804-266-2477 or email me, Lamont Crawley, at myvoice4soul@gmail.com. That is my voice, the number 4, SOL@gmail.com, or text me at 804-514-5890. Thank you for letting us into your lives. Until next time, take care.
Thank you.